The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And UFC 262 is coming your way from Houston tomorrow. Another sure-to-be action-packed card, including number 3-ranked Charles Oliveira taking on number 4 contender Michael Chandler. Main card starts 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English or Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Prelim started 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. And that is where you find us, at least on ESPN, every weekday morning. Delighted you were here. We welcome you to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. In a jam-packed hour number 2 is coming up. Let's do it. It's time to get up with the truth about Tom. It comes from his dad, and it's delightful. Wait until you hear what he said about Brady's return to Foxborough. Then, the truth about Aaron. We'll explain exactly how this got sideways in Green Bay and the one way it can still be salvaged. Plus, finally, you will hear the real reason Urban Meyer brought Tim Tebow to Jacksonville. That and more as we get up with you starting right now with the most eagerly anticipated regular season football game in NFL history. Week 4, Tom Brady back in Foxborough. You know the story by now. The journey began in 2000. Brady from Michigan, drafted in the 6th round, pick number 199, spent 20 seasons in New England, won 6 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 regular season MVPs. But of course, last offseason, taking his talents to Tampa in his first year as a Buccaneer, leading that team to a Super Bowl championship on its home field. Something had never been done before. And so now, Brady back to Foxborough, week 4, to take on his former team and his former coach at Gillette Stadium. Brady's dad yesterday had a prediction.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the 4th game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the 4th game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Oh, there's nothing better than when we hear from the dad, except when we get Jenna Lane, who covers the Bucs for us so well. So we hear about how Tom Senior feels about this. What, if anything, are we hearing, Jenna, from the defending champs?
Well, Greeny, there's been a lot of chatter about that week 3 game cross country for the Bucs. They have to go to LA to play the Rams. And then the following week, they travel to Foxborough to play the Patriots in what's undoubtedly going to be a very emotional game for Tom Brady. And of course, his new Bucs teammates, they don't want to let him down. I talked to Coach Bruce Arians about it. I asked how much it's going to impact their recovery and their preparation. And he said, we'll adjust accordingly. And what he means by that is whether or not they're going to practice that week in pads. But he's really pleased about the week 9 bye. They had a week 13 bye this year that just felt really late. Guys were really dragging their feet going into that bye week. But this year, it comes right after games against Chicago and New Orleans, both playoff teams, and right before another game against another playoff team, Washington. But overall, you're not going to hear a whole lot of complaints about the schedule from this group because they're just 2 seasons removed from having to go 20,000 miles in a stretch of 5 games of travel. That's an awful lot of travel for them. So not too many complaints for them. Guys are just really eager to get back to practicing. And as Arian said, have their butts kicked.
I got it. You know, it's interesting that I hadn't looked at it that way, but they've got the game the week before on the road in what is, in reality, a more important game. I mean, the Bucs and the Rams could easily find themselves battling it out for the 1 seed this season, but the rest of the world is going to focus on the game the following week against the Patriots. How big a deal do you think that game will be for everyone on the Bucs whose name is not Tom Brady?
Oh, gosh, the guys on this team just absolutely adore him. It's amazing to me how close they were able to get despite not having a whole lot of time together in the team facility. Those guys would run through a brick wall for him. They want to be at their absolute best. They don't want to let him down. They know how important this game is going to be for him. They know how important it's going to be for him to go up to Foxborough and play at his absolute best.
All right, Jenna Lane, outstanding as always in Tampa. Thank you so much. Let me bring the rest of the crew back in on that thought. And this is interesting to me. You know, I hadn't looked at that part of it, Bart Scott. So let's focus on that. Obviously, you're Brady and Gronk for that matter, but mostly Brady. You're going back to Foxborough. That is absolutely everything in the world to you emotionally. The game the week before, 3,000 miles away, could wind up being for the one seed in the NFC. How do you balance the emotions of that game in Foxborough versus the fact that it's not in your conference? It isn't really in the big picture that important of a game.
Well, it is because it's the next one up, right? And you understand that, you know, depending on how that game out west goes, if that game goes bad, then you could feel under pressure to try and make sure that you don't win two games, lose two games back to back, whether it's in the division or not in the division. And listen, when you go back to play your former team, it's personal, right? It's not business. It's personal because it didn't end the way that they wanted to. And how the team going to look at Gronk? You know, he decided to retire and come back and team up with Tom Brady down in Tampa. What was that saying about the environment, how he felt about playing for the New England Patriots? So it's going to be a chippy game. I think it's going to get chippy early because it's not usually about the players that played there. It's the supporting cast that wants to support them. Every time we had a coach going back to a team or we had a player going back to the team, it became the Bart Bowl or the Rex Bowl. It is going to be the Tommy Grunt Bowl going back, and everybody's going to want to, you know, play at their best, and it's going to get chippy out there because they're going to be playing so hard. It's going to have a playoff type of atmosphere. And then on the other side, you got Brady. I mean, on the other side, you got Bill Belichick trying to get everybody ready and prepared, and everybody's trying to prove themselves as new Patriots, you know, whether it's Judon or all the high-priced free agents come in. So they're going to want to try and jump into this and make this a bit of a rivalry, because as long as these two are still in the league, their narrative is always, and their future and their legacy is always going to be linked together and compared.
Let's talk about Dad, though, because at the end of the day, Bart, that's the really important part of this. Tom Brady, the Tom Brady who we know is the quarterback, he always says the right things. But what his dad said, down deep inside, is that what Tommy thinks? Is that what Tom Brady is the dad speaking for the son?
No, yeah, he's his alter ego. He's saying what he can't say, because he can say, listen, I'm a civilian. I can say whatever I want to say, and it can't be directly linked to what Tom Brady is talking about. But it's exactly what his feelings are. He knows, listen, if anybody knows, you know, Tom Brady's true feelings about Bill Belichick, it's his dad. They've had those conversations. They've had those drive homes after games. They've had those offseason conversations when he's like, man, this dude just drafted Nikhil Harry. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? Right? They've had all those type conversations about Tom giving the money back. So I think this is him, you know, kind of speaking for his son, saying, you know what, we can't wait. We expect to beat them handily. And I wouldn't be listening. No Risky, No Bisky is, listen, a habitual line stepper as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he says, you know what, you want to make this rivalry? Take a shot late in the game if they're up or down to try and prove a point or try and put more points on the board. This is good for TV. This is good for the league.
All right, I'm all in on that. Mike T, take us to the other side. Brady is the guy who never says anything wrong. Belichick is the guy who never says anything at all. So give us a sense of how he approaches this. You've spent a lot of time around him, worked with him for years. What is Bill's approach to this game, which, again, will be the most anticipated regular season game, I think, ever?
Greeny, he's going to walk into that first meeting and say, hey, guys, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. We're playing the world champion Buccaneers. They got a great front seven, Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, great offensive linemen, great skill players, great kicking game. It doesn't even matter who the quarterback is, because we're playing a really good team. And then he's going to talk about right after the game, we play Houston the week after. So he's going to approach this 1 week at a time, and he's going to do everything to tamp things down where we know everybody else is going to build this up.
Let's address the elephant in the room. You put down the microphone, didn't you, Mike? And then you had to pick it up in the middle of that thought. That's exactly what happened there. Dropped the mic,
so
you had to pick it back up. There's no reason to pretend it's not what happened. Let's go back to it quickly, though. Down deep inside, down deep at his core, I mean, you have sauna'd with the man, so you know Belichick, Mike Tannenbaum. This can't just be another game for him. It just cannot.
I know it sounds incredible. In some ways, of course, it's not deep down, but he is as laser focused as anybody is. And to the extent he can, he will dial into what we could do to stop Brady. He knows his vulnerabilities better than anybody after all those years at practice, and he will make it 1 week at a time. And sure, maybe 5 years from now when he's reflecting in his book, he'll talk about, hey, week four of the 2021 season. But for the most part, Greeny, he is a 1 week at a week time coach, and that's one of his many superpowers.
Okay, so as we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock for everybody, Graziano, I will start with you because these all pertain to that game. And here's the question for you, Dan Graziano. Looking at Tom Brady here, in his age 44 season, will he be a leading MVP candidate this season? Dan Graziano, go.
Well, is he going to play this season? Because if so, yes. I think as long as Tom Brady plays and he's on a good team, which he is, he'll always be an MVP candidate. And it's just otherwise, why would he still be doing it? I think he's determined to do this not just as long as he can, but at a high level for as long as he can. So given what's around him, given what the expectations are, given his history, yes, absolutely, he will be in that discussion.
And again, we will talk a little later with you, Dan, here, because I didn't get it in there with all the other things going on about the way this game will be hyped, because I think there's some particulars there. But Mike T, let me come back to you. Here's your 30-second question. Will the Patriots reclaim their throne and win the AFC East? 30 seconds, go.
I don't think they do. I think they close the gap. I think they get back to the playoffs, but the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, I think that bar is too high for Cam Newton to close all the way. Now, if they pick up a guy like Julio Jones, all bets are off. But this is a much improved team. I think Dante Hightower is going to make a big difference, Greeny. But at the end of the day, I think Buffalo, Josh Allen, all the weapons they have, I think the bar is too high for the Patriots to catch him.
It's interesting. That's another one who has referred to the Patriots and talked about Cam as the quarterback, the expectation that he keeps that job and not the rookie Mac Jones, whom they drafted. Bart, how about you? Will the Patriots be able to hang with the Buccaneers week four? 30 seconds, go.
Oh, absolutely. I believe this team is built to be like quarterback friendly, right? You talk about the two tight ends. They have one of the best offensive lines, bringing Trent Brown back with Isaiah Wynn and, you know, Andrews coming back from the blood clots. This is going to be a team that's going to be able to be in games. And if they have to muddy it up, they can do that, right? They're going to be able to be strong defensively. They're going to be sound and stout. And listen, we don't know what this team and Tampa team is going to be about. We don't know if a lot of these hungry players are going to still be hungry because they ate and they brought everybody back. So you don't have anybody coming from the outside in that doesn't have a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, Chris Canty once said it's very hard to be starving when you've just finished eating. We will take a short break on that thought. So much more to do as we continue in this hour, including, is it possible that the rift between Rodgers and the Packers, the thing that is driving away the MVP, is just all about communication? We'll get to the bottom of that. Plus, as rookies report to camp, who is ready to start right now? And which of these young stars simply is not? That answer is on the way. But is this answer on the way? Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano, the best matchup we have. Prior to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, who was the last quarterback to start a season opener for the Packers? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I have a feeling Graziano is going to get this one. A sneaky Hembo, Dan. Prior to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, who was the last quarterback to start a season opener for the Packers?
Every now and then I benefit from the fact that Hembo forgets how much older I am than he is. I take it as a compliment, but sometimes he does forget. I remember this player. I'd be shocked if it's not Don Majkowski from 1992.
That is correct. Don Majkowski, as he was known at the time, serving that one up on a silver platter, was Hembo. And thus, Graziano pads his lead. That one was for the tie. But Graziano now two up on the season versus Sneaky Hembo. Meanwhile, let's talk about those Packer quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers, his future continues to be the topic of conversation across the league. Yesterday, former Packers running back Amon Green was on KJZ sharing an interesting perspective on the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Here's what he said.
I say, hey, bro, you got to be honest. Me and him, we crossed paths when I was a few years ago. I was trying to get into the NFL in terms of scouting. I had a conversation with him myself personally, and I remember doing an interview with him. They said, oh, well, you have a little bit too much experience. And I'm like, huh? I was like, well, wouldn't you want somebody like that on the staff? It's just be honest. That was not an honest answer. So he needs to be real. He needs to learn from this situation by being honest with his players.
So, I mean, the bottom line of it is a communication breakdown between the general manager and a former running back is one thing. A communication breakdown between the general manager and the franchise quarterback that might threaten the quarterback's continuing to play for the franchise is something else entirely. Dan Graziano, what do we have here?
Well, first of all, I hope KJZ has me on at some point so I can rip all the people who turned me down for jobs over the years, too. But I don't think that's neither here nor there. Like, you're looking at a situation with the Packers where you have a GM in Brian Gutekunst who is not an outsider, right? He's been there. This is his 23rd season in Green Bay. He was an assistant. He worked his way up through the ranks before he became GM. So the Packers have a way of doing things. And yes, it's possible that Brian Gutekunst didn't effectively communicate to Aaron Rodgers, this is the Packers' way of doing things, and it applies to you just as it's applied to everyone else who's ever been here. But Rodgers has been there 16 years. It's not like he's new there either. So, yeah, I think there's a personality issue between the two. I think, you know, it seems at this point what we've learned through reporting on this story is they don't necessarily get along. They don't necessarily have to get along. You know, the quarterback can go weeks without seeing the GM in the building. That's a possible thing. It's not as if he has an issue with the coaching staff. But you do wonder if that's a hurdle that can be cleared. I mean, can they make it right with money? Can they convince Rodgers that Green Bay's the best place for him to be if he wants to win another Super Bowl? All those things are possible. But if you can't overcome a personal issue you have with the guy you work for, then that might be too much.
So, Bart Scott, where does it go from here?
I mean, I think it's headed for divorce, right? And he's going to be attached with that scarlet letter as the guy who ran Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, out of the organization. And he's going to have to own that because he had a failure to communicate. They had less communication. They had less communication with Aaron Rodgers than what, you know, San Francisco had with Jimmy G. They gave him more respect, saying, hey, we're going to draft the quarterback. This is what we're doing. You know, hopefully you can hold him off for 2 years. You put an expiration date on Aaron, the baddest man on the planet right now, on his shelf life in Green Bay once you drafted Jordan Love. So it's not about money. It's about respect. Aaron Rodgers has enough money. He's discount double-checking himself all the way to the bank. It's not about that. It's about respect. And it's like, you don't respect me. Anytime you start calling a guy Krause and you talk, everybody that's seen the Last Dance, understand, you know, what that means, you know, and how Aaron Rodgers views the general manager. It's not a repairable relationship. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they have to understand that, hey, this isn't going to be, you know, the storybook ending that we thought. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have to leave. And at some point, they're going to say, hey, you know what? Let's just make sure we can get the best compensation. And the window for them to win the Super Bowl, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, is closed. And that's his fault and his fault only.
So look, everything you say is right. And no one can argue with any of that. And Mike Tannenbaum, I remain sort of mad at myself. Because roughly a month ago or whenever it was that Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show and said, I threw a monkey wrench into their plans by playing so well. We should have known at that moment this was over. That's his mentality. Aaron Rodgers is basically saying, these guys gave up on me and I spoiled what they want to do. And so regardless of communication or anything else, I think that's how he feels. Can that be rectified? I don't know. But Mike T, I think that's the way he looks at it.
Yeah, and I think it can be rectified. I see it differently than Bart, and here's why. I would talk about his legacy. I would talk about the fact that all these other quarterbacks didn't finish with the Packers, and we can win now, and we can win for the next 3 to 4 years. We were just in the championship game. You were the league MVP. You had plenty of weapons. We made a mistake last year. We could have communicated it better. Look, Tampa Bay's trying to win. They just drafted Kyle Trask, so maybe we took Jordan Love a little bit too soon. We apologize. We should have told you about that. But one mistake over 16 years shouldn't be the reason you're walking out the door.
So let's spin this into, Dan, what really matters, which is he going to get traded or not? What do the people you talk to around the league, around the sport, and perhaps there in Green Bay, what is the expectation?
Well, right now, Green Bay is still telling teams that they don't want to do it, and they are working toward a solution that brings him back there for at least one more year. That's their stance. Of course, there's time if they do end up deciding they have to trade him. I think what people have their eye on is, what's he willing to skip out on? Is he going to miss the mandatory minicamp next month and incur those fines? Bart's right. He's got plenty of money. He can handle the fines. Is he going to miss training camp days and incur fines of $50,000 a day? Would he be willing to sit out games? There are milestones on the calendar that could have an effect on how the Packers view this situation and whether they change their minds about dealing him. Right now they're saying they're not going to. Seems like both sides are dug in and it could be protracted. But more people I talk to than not think that he's probably not going to be back with the Packers, whether that means he's traded or whether that means he just sits out.
Sits out slash retires, and obviously no one wins in that scenario. Mike Tannenbaum, take the other side of this. You're a general manager who wants to get him. You're George Payton in Denver or anywhere else. What are you doing? If you want to try and get Aaron Rodgers, how are you doing that right now?
I did that 12 years ago with Brett Favre. I call every day. I literally will call every day to make sure that they know how interested we are and we're going to construct a deal that both sides could win. And if I'm George Payton, the GM of the Broncos, here's three first-round picks. Here's Drew Locke, who may be a good quarterback in the NFL. He's not. You could trade him outside your conference, and I am relentless. I am not taking no for an answer, because the worst-case scenario is not Aaron Rodgers not getting traded, but getting traded to the Raiders. Now you got to face Herbert, Mahomes, and Rodgers. You have no chance if you're Denver, so you absolutely have to stay locked in with the Packers.
So, Bart, I got 30 seconds. There's three different ways this could go. Rodgers could get traded, he could play for the Packers again, or he could not play at all. Give me the crystal ball. What's going to happen?
Well, I think he takes a page out of Carson Palmer's book. I think both teams are going to be headed for a collision course. They're going to play a game of chicken, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to take a little farther than expected. And eventually they figure out a deal to get him, you know, traded out of there, and they're going to have to move forward with Jordan Love. So I think maybe, you know, Aaron Rodgers sits out for a year, and then they say, you know what, if we're going to lose him, let's get something for him to build our future on and our foundation, and let's get young and have a cheap quarterback. But I don't, to Tannenbaum's point, I don't see them trading for Drew Locke, because that creates a quarterback competition, more like a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who can be a bridge guy who understands his role.
Yeah, we'll see. But one way or another, that obviously would be the scenario that would – it would just blow the whole thing up completely. All right, we'll take a break on that thought. So much still to come as we roll on this Friday. Coming up, could Tim Tebow really make the Jaguars roster? You don't want to miss what one of our crew thinks that would mean for his coach. That's next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I present for your viewing pleasure.
The super fans are excited.
I love the safety of this little box that I'm in.
Here comes the menu that these two guys will completely obliterate over the next 60 minutes.
Greeny hates when we do a show just for each other.
Oh, poo.
Because he's like, all these other people watch it, but I love it.
Poo.
This show is just for me and you, RC.
They may be young, but they're ready.
Oh, man, are you serious right now?
Poo.
This is a lot like when Marty McFly went back in time and invented rock and roll.
Brian Gutekunst is thinking about the future of the Packers. Like Mayor Goldie Wilson, progress is his middle name.
Who's going to be the idiot and trade away Aaron Rodgers?
The Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers? That's like the Rolling Stones without Mick Jagger.
Preach, Greeny. I know you feel the spirit. Do a dance.
You can't just look at Aaron Rodgers after an MVP season and say, hey, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Don't explain one word, Greeny.
Hey, Greeny, I'm enjoying you this morning. I tell you that much.
I never thought I would hear that. Great fun to be had every week, and we're delighted you're along for the ride. Graziano, let's do a little overreaction Friday with a focus on the schedule. Here we go. The Bears cannot start Justin Fields week one because they're playing the Rams. Overreaction or no?
It's an overreaction. Look, I'm as scared of Aaron Donald as anyone is, but if you're saying this guy's good enough to play in the NFL, you're saying he's good enough to play against any NFL team. So I don't think they're going to base their decision on their week one opponent. It'll be based on how ready they think Justin Fields is by the end of training camp.
Next stop is Dallas. The Cowboys' D has no shot against Tampa's offense in the season opener. Overreaction or no?
I'm always going to say overreaction when you say no shot. Everyone's got a shot, especially week one. We have no idea how anyone's going to look week one. Cowboys defense is going to look different. We don't know if it'll be better, but it'll be different, and it almost has to be better. DeMarcus Lawrence, it's not like he's never wrecked a game before. I don't think they're going to be favored, certainly, but I wouldn't say no shot.
And then finally, the Browns. The Browns got a really good week one draw playing the Chiefs in Kansas City. Overreaction or no?
Not an overreaction. I kind of like this for the Browns. They lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs. That was the last game they played. They felt like they had the opportunity to win that game, that they went toe-to-toe with, at the time, the defending champs and almost took them down. They've overhauled their defense. They have Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney going against the Chiefs offensive line that looks like it's going to be better this year, but will be playing together for basically the first time. If you're going to get a chance at the Chiefs, week one may be the time to do it, and the Browns will be extra fired up for that chance.
I said it on the day the schedule was released. The Browns are going to win that game. Elsewhere, as you have likely heard, the Jaguars are expected to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year deal with the team in the coming days to play tight end. This, of course, has been quite a polarizing topic among former NFL players. Yesterday, former Jaguars receiver Jimmy Smith had this to say.
We need a guy like Tim Tebow, who's a hometown hero, who has love for the city anyway, all right? He's going to be a great support for Trevor Lawrence. On whatever capacity that is. Whatever capacity that is, it's going to be a positive rather than a negative.
So that was Jimmy Smith saying that. Bear in mind, he is the Jaguars' all-time leader in receptions and receiving yards and touchdown catches. That's basically what you heard him say there. He's going to be great support for Trevor Lawrence. So, Bart Scott, let me ask you, what great support do you expect Tim Tebow to be for the number one draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, in Jacksonville?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they got two different hairstyles. Listen, this guy is like Michael Myers, man. This dude just won't die. Like, I don't understand it, man. Like, this is the biggest distraction. You have a young quarterback in that's supposed to be the face of your franchise. Now you're going to bring in the distraction. Listen, we're talking about him on this damn show. He's been a topic of conversation for the end. Listen, he's a polarizing personality. But come on, man. Like I said, the last time he was relevant, flip phones was out, man. It was like a Razor 2 or something like that. We don't like iPhone 12 now. What the hell are we doing still talking about Tim Tebow? Like, it's nothing he can teach him about playing quarterback. There's two different quarterbacks. You talk about a guy that's a pocket presence that can throw the ball. This guy is a energy leech, man. At some point, man, wrap it up, B. Like, to quote Dave Chappelle, wrap it up, B. It's time to wrap it up. It's time to ride off into the sunset. It's nothing he can teach Trevor Lawrence about playing quarterback. Nothing. And the fact that he's going to go out there and get Mad Dog, he's going to be on somebody's highlight film. You ever watch, like, the old stories of watching Muhammad Ali get beat? Like, I don't even know who Tyson lost to and sat on his butt on the third round. It's going to be like that. You're going to see somebody that you have great memories about him in Denver and what he did getting Mad Dog and looking at it as a shell of himself. He can come in there with all them popcorn muscles he want, but a wolf ain't a wolf. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? He's going to go out there and try to be a wolf and going to deal with some real wolves and going to realize that he really is sheep. going out there trying to block some of these defensive ends and stuff. I'm beside myself, man. I was away all week, and I had to hear this narrative about Tim Tebow coming back, and it made me throw up in my mouth just a little bit. All Myers had to do, he had one job. Don't make us a laughing stock. He did it with Chris Doyle, and now he's doing it with Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow is going to take meaningful reps, meaningful opportunities from a kid who has earned it. Like, come on, man, what's next? He going to be Batman? Go to wrestling, man. Go do something else. Okay. Football ain't your thing, man.
I am glad you were able to get that off of your chest. Mike Tannenbaum, let me ask you this from a little different perspective. You're Urban Meyer. Bart brings up the point. He brought in Chris Doyle, the strength coach. Perhaps not anticipating how much of a pushback he was going to get on that. Ultimately, he had to undo that decision. There's been a lot of reaction to this. How do you read that? Again, we have no games yet to base Urban Meyer's NFL coaching career on. So how do you read all of that relative to Urban's beginning here in the NFL?
Yeah, it's off to a rocky start. And if Tim Tebow is on the opening day roster, it will eviscerate Urban Meyer's credibility, because decisions in the NFL are based on meritocracy. Bart's a great example. Undrafted free agent, great career because he earned every bit of it. And I'm just telling you, Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee are praying that Tim Tebow makes the Jacksonville Jaguars, because if that organization is run based on relationships, they have no chance to win. This is about Trevor Lawrence and doing everything they can to make him successful, not trying to turn a 34-year-old Tim Tebow into a tight end. We all know that backup skill players have to play special teams. There's no way Tim's going to run down and cover kicks. So if he makes this team, it's just going to really hurt Urban's ability to stand up in front of the team and say, hey, how you play matters, because it simply won't. It would be based on a relationship.
All right, so Dan Graziano, you and I sort of see it a little bit differently. If he's still there when we get to September, then I think you and I would both come around to this way of thinking. I think you and I both think this is much ado about nothing, because he won't have any chance of making the final roster. So let's try and figure it out. What does it do? What is being provided here? If you're Urban Meyer, beyond just giving your friend a chance, what exactly is the method to the madness here?
I think it's just giving his friend a chance. I mean, it may be, look, people like Tim Tebow and like having him around, and it could be as simple as what Jimmy Smith is saying. I haven't talked to anybody who's been able to figure out what exactly the end game is here. I guess Tebow gets to find out if he can do something that we all think that he can't, but I would imagine he's going to be disappointed. I do not consider him a threat to Jimmy Smith's franchise record for receptions and touchdown catches. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think he's going to make the team. I think it's about Urban Meyer having a guy he likes. And maybe somewhere along the way, Urban Meyer said to Tim Tebow, hey, if I ever get that NFL job, you're coming with me. And he's making good on that promise. But yeah, I think this is a story that fades long before the regular season. I could eat my words. I don't know. But I think this is a story that fades long before the regular season happens. And we don't have to worry about it. There is a segment of the NFL community, though, that's skeptical of college coaches making the transition, and they'll look for anything to support their theory. And Urban's given them a couple early on.
Go ahead, Mike T, give us a quick final thought.
Yeah, to Dan's point, if that's the case, like, why would you sign him? Bring him in as a coach, bring him in as an advisor, but to bring him on the roster for just training camp, there's no upside, and it becomes this massive distraction.
That's the part of this that is difficult to figure out. I have to leave it there for the minute. We'll come back, Bart. We'll come back, I promise. You obviously have a great deal to say on this, and I appreciate it. We'll come back to it in a minute. But I got to let everybody know our NBA Friday matchup is tonight, and it has play-in tournament implications. You got Lonzo, you got the Pelicans. You got Steph, you got the Warriors. It's tonight. Our coverage begins 8:30 Eastern with NBA Countdown here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, we were all excited to see the NFL schedule released this week. But what are the games that Bart can't wait to see? You'll find out next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
To all the non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
It is the phrase of which legends were made, and he is Bart Scott. And let's go through it now, Bart, with the schedule having been released. Take us through some of the games you can't wait to watch this season. The first one is the big one.
Well, the first one is the big one. Of course, it's Tampa Bay and New England. You talk about Week 4. We get an early treat, and you get Tom Brady going back home. The prodigal son returns. And Bill Belichick has always dominated the matchups between his former assistants. What say you about his prodigal son, his son coming back? And I tell you what they're probably going to do, they're probably going to suspend all TV12 sales at the stadium for the week because Bill's going to internalize it. This is going to be a tremendous matchup with so many subplots. It should be in a soap opera, Greeny.
Okay, and how about the next one, Week 5?
Exactly, I'm going to go down to Week 5. Yeah, Week 5, man. You got the Bills and you got the Chiefs. You talk about last year, the Tampa Bay give the Bills a blueprint of how to beat them. They go out and they draft 2 pass rushers in the first round, Boogie Basham, to pair it with Ed Oliver. Hopefully they can get Patrick Mahomes off his spot. But then guess what? They went out and had one of the best off seasons. This is a team on a collision course. If they're going to go to a Super Bowl, it's going to be through, Arrowhead Stadium.
And then Week 8.
And finally, man, this is the big one for me. I tell you what, this is a sneaky good team. They had a tremendous offseason, bringing in veteran presence like J.J. Watt to pair with Chandler Jones returning, also going out to get Zach Collins in the first round, going out to get A.J. Green. And listen, Kyler Murray is a sneaky MVP candidate. It's going to be a tremendous matchup. I don't know if A.A. Ron's going to be on the other side, but I'm assuming that he is. It's going to be a tremendous matchup for who's number 2 in the NFC and who can be potentially somebody who can push the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm excited about that game. Could be a coming out party for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, that's interesting to me. You're that high on Arizona. Let's put that one on the memory bank. That's interesting. Okay, before we get to a trade I can't wait to talk about, you had one last thought on Tim Tebow in our previous segment that I really wanted to give you the chance to share. Again, Tebow potentially coming back in Jacksonville as a tight end. Bart, you played with him in New York in 2012, so you've seen a little bit of what comes with him. Give us that final thought.
Well, yeah, just be careful what you wish for, because the Mets thought, that he was just coming in, it was going to be a gimmick, but he's like a bad rash, man. He just won't go away. He keeps coming back, and if he plays good enough or makes a couple plays, Urban Meyer will be able to have a justifiable reason to keep him on, and I believe it can fragment and fracture a very young locker room, and he's going to be taking so much attention from Lawrence that it could create an issue there, because he's going to be like the third string backup quarterback. And if you get a little Tebow magic early on, it could be something that can hurt you in the long run.
Yeah, that is something that will be fascinating to watch. If he does wind up playing any quarterback at all, and it goes well, that could be a fascinating set of circumstances. All right, we see that there. Meantime, let me bring Dan Graziano back into the conversation, because a little bit earlier in the program, we were talking about trades that could still happen between now and the beginning of next year's regular season. And you brought up one name that most definitely could make a difference if he is moved, and that name is?
Well, Julio Jones with the Falcons. And again, this is a touchy situation because it's a special player to that franchise and its fan base. And you have a new GM and coach coming in, and if their first act is to trade away such a beloved player, that's a dicey situation. But given his contract, given that he's been so banged up in recent years, given that they just drafted Kyle Pitts and they drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round a couple of years ago, this is a trade that is very, very possible, if not likely, post June 1st, when it would help defray the hit on their 2021 salary cap. So this is definitely someone to keep an eye on as a potential big name that could move and change teams still between now and the start of the season.
A big name, and when healthy, still a difference-making player. So Mike Tannenbaum, who should be on the phone right now with Atlanta trying to figure out who make this deal on June 2nd?
the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, and here's why. They've had a very aggressive offseason. They've gotten better. They did sign Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, but they could use a frontline number one receiver. If Cam Newton's going to have any chance to take this team to the playoffs, Julio Jones would certainly help him get there. Nick Saban and Belichick, obviously very close. This is one of Nick Saban's all-time favorite players. I think it makes a ton of sense, and it really puts a ribbon on a very aggressive offseason for the Patriots.
That would really be something. Bart, back to you. What do you think? Where would you like to see Julio?
I said on your set, you know, a couple months ago, and I told you that the Baltimore Ravens still didn't have enough to be able to win a Super Bowl. This is a team that is very close. Julio Jones puts them over the top, because if you look at their offseason with Watkins, the draft, the Bateman, that's still not a true number one. We don't know if Bateman's ready for the big lights yet. This is a team in their window right before they have to pay a massive contract to Lamar Jackson. You know, you can push and hold Lamar Jackson contracts off for one more year. If you tell him we're going to get you Julio Jones, if you're able to add a Super Bowl to your resume, it's going to be more cheese on your taco.
Yeah, and look, it's no knock to Rashad Bateman to say he could still live up to all of his hype and not be Julio Jones. You're talking about one of the great players in the history of the sport. Meanwhile, Dan, you were the one who brought it up. Where do you think is an interesting landing spot for Julio Jones?
The San Francisco 49ers. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, their head coach, was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta during their best offensive year when they went to the Super Bowl. He knows the difference Julio Jones can make. He's got a young wide receiver room, potentially has a young starting quarterback if Trey Lance is able to win the job and they do move Jimmy Garoppolo. And if they do trade Garoppolo and then bring in Julio Jones, you know, Julio's cap number for this year for the Niners would be about $8 million less than Garoppolo's. So that's a couple of moves that could make sense together if Trey Lance looks like he's going to be the guy right away. If. That's a big if.
Yeah, look, there are still a lot of moves, a lot of shoes that could fall during this NFL offseason. You brought up the possibility of Garoppolo earlier today. We're still waiting on Aaron Rodgers, potentially Deshaun Watson, depending on a lot of other circumstances. And then Julio Jones might feel like the likeliest of them all at this point. Meanwhile, tomorrow, we got great action coming your way. It's the WNBA's 25th season, and tomorrow on ABC and the ESPN app, tip-off weekend continues with a doubleheader highlighted by MVPs, Candace Parker making her Chicago debut, then Breanna Stewart and the defending champion Storm taking on Las Vegas. It's a rematch of last year's finals. All the action again tomorrow on ABC and on the ESPN app. Coming up, it's been a busy week, but if you think you've heard it all, you will not want to miss our NFL bold predictions. They're next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do not miss UFC 262 from Houston tomorrow night with another sure-to-be action-packed card. Number 3 ranked Charles Oliveira takes on the number 4 contender Michael Chandler for the vacant lightweight title. In the main event, the main card starts 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Prelims start at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Meanwhile, we are 4 minutes away from First Take here on ESPN, and they're digging into the question, Brady or Belichick? Whose way was the Patriot way? Plus, should the Lakers rest LeBron and AD as long as possible? Max, Molly, Chris Canty, live at the top of the hour on First Take. Meanwhile, we've got 4 minutes, and we're going on the clock here with bold NFL predictions. Graziano, I'm starting with you. Give me a bold prediction.
3 NFC East teams will finish this season better than 500. The sad sack division, which didn't even have a 500 team last year, the schedule sets up nicely for just about all of them. Dallas's defense should be better. Washington's quarterback play should be better. Greeny, the Eagles, we're looking at the schedule release. Eagles don't have to get on a plane after week 10. I think the NFC East could surprise some people this year with their records. I don't think it's going to be a repeat of the disaster we saw there last year.
That is very sneaky of Graziano to say three teams, but not name them. That leaves you a lot of room to wind up.
Yeah, the NFC, right. Yeah,
I'd like to play. Bart Scott, you are next. Give me a bold NFL prediction. 30 seconds, go.
Well, I'll tell you what, Green, this is why I felt reading comprehension, because I thought we were supposed to make one for week one. My week one bold prediction was that, you know, Sam Darnold for 1 week is going to make the Jet fans eat crow, because I believe Sam Darnold's probably going to throw for about 350. You think about the weapons that he had, the reconnection with Robbie Anderson, Christopher McCaffrey coming back, Terrence Marshall Jr. You think about DJ Moore. He's going to put up about 350, and he's going to show all that, you know, off-schedule plays, throwing off schedule and all that stuff, and he's going to drive the Jet fans crazy as Zach Wilson struggles in week one.
I agree. What can I say? I completely agree. Sam Darnold's going to look around and say, oh, I didn't know that in the NFL you could have NFL-caliber talent around you. So there you have it. All right, but Mike T, we're saving the most interesting one for last. 30-second bold prediction. Go.
The 2021 Comeback Player of the Year, Dak Prescott, leads the Dallas Cowboys on opening night in Tampa Bay, gets the win, and our own Dan Orlovsky at the NFL Honors in February presents Dak Prescott with the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and it starts on opening night when they go into Tampa Bay and beat Tampa.
I like every part of it. I cannot wait to see the Prescott and Foxworth families together at that, because we've now combined them together here on this program. But let's not bury the lead. The prediction: Cowboys beat the Bucs in week one. Bart Scott, what do you think?
Listen, I tell you what, people are underestimating the Cowboys and what they've done on the defensive side of the ball just from a speed and space type of standpoint. I think with that offense, I think, like I said, Tampa's really full right now, and I think they could be surprised. Week one is always unpredictable.
Oh, yeah, that Thursday night opener with the Super Bowl champions at home, though, is usually a pretty tough game to come in and win on the road. Graziano, what do you think?
It's been done. To Bart's point, though, I hope we all live long enough to see the day where people really do underestimate the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, correct. Underestimating the Dallas Cowboys traditionally has not been their problem. I will merely say, Mike Tannenbaum, you're nuts. I mean, the Buccaneers are the best team in the NFC. The Cowboys are the most overhyped team in the NFC. I don't buy it at all.
Week one.
Dak Prescott is an underrated player, and he is going to be a force multiplier for that offense, and they win 50-47.
Dak Prescott is the second highest paid player in the National Football League. 50-47. Oh, we've lost our minds on a Football Friday. Thank you guys for getting up. Thank you for getting up. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.